everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for this week's Survivor Exit Interview. Today we'll be talking with Alan Ball, the fourth player voted out of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And we have a lot going on here in Reno, Nevada, where Stephen Fishback and I were here as part of Run It Up Reno, Jason Somerville's big poker event, which he had us come out here for to do the live show last night. You can check it out on YouTube if you missed any of that. And of course, the audio is in your podcast feed. After this, I am going to try to catch up with Tyson, who is here at the Run It Up event. We didn't get to talk to him on the Know-It-Alls last night, so I'm going to see if I can get some interviews with him in person, maybe a couple other people that are around, if I can grab them as I run around the hotel here in Reno. And then when we get back to the studio, I will be heading back tomorrow, and I will be catching up with the Mayo Jar. Nick Majorana will be in the studio for the Survivor voicemails coming up over the weekend, so be sure to get your calls in for that. Okay, it looks like we have Alan Ball here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Alan, are you there?
Hey, Rob, what's going on? Hey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Very good, Alan. And yeah, I thought it was such an exciting episode last night. Really explosive. And I can't wait to get your take on everything. So could you just talk us through your surprise at that tribal council to, one, have first Devin get his vote canceled out, and then to have Joe end up playing the idol?
You know, first off, I mean, going into tribal, I think, you know, everybody kind of expected. I mean, I kind of expected fireworks. I really did. The way things were going with me and Joe, I knew, especially from my first tribal, I could only anticipate that it was going to be explosive, and that was the direction it was going either way. So when we sat down and things got rolling, I mean, it was way more intense, I think, than what the cameras could really show, because we went at it pretty good during tribal. And then when Devin pulled out what he thought was an advantage and it was actually a disadvantage, at that point, I think, during that tribal, that was the first time that I'm like, okay, it's probably a chance that I'm going home. Like, it's one of those things where if this is a twist right now, it's like, this is too far-fetched. Something is going to go wrong. Something's not right. And that's when I first started feeling it. And then when Joe pulled out his idol, it was just like, you know what? There it is. Like, it's, I know I'm going home. We don't have to read these votes. I could just get up. Here's my torch. I'm out of here. So it kind of added up throughout tribal. And by the end, by the time Joe pulled out that idol, I knew what time it was for me.
Alan, I think that you might have had the right idea in the first place when you got into the idol strip search with JP. Why didn't you do the strip search to Joe before tribal council?
Well, I first off, I don't think anybody can really plan that somebody's going to drop their draws in front of you. So I did
right.
not.
Did, you did not tell JP. That. Yes, you did that. You're right.
So I was in just as much shock as anybody else. And I was laughing on the inside, but it's like, I'm already here. I got to roll with this at this point. Like, I can't pull back. Like, I'm here now. I gotta follow this too. So, I mean, I had no idea he was going to do that. But honestly, I will say this. Like, Joe surprised me. I did not think he was that cunning or manipulative to even cause chaos and have the idol. I didn't give him enough credit. So he surprised me. And it was talks between me and Ashley who we really wanted to get out. And, you know, we really thought about just voting for Desi. But I think Joe was getting on everyone's nerves to the point where it was like, it got to the point for me, I knew that we couldn't go on another day together. Like, it was either me or him. Like, one of us had to go, no matter what. And I was set in that by the time tribal was over. So I don't even think it would have caused for a strip search for him. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even think I could have a one-on-one with him long enough to get there. So, I mean, yeah, that's just how that plays.
We saw Joe and Desi talking about, okay, well, now you did too much. Now they know that you have the idol. Did you guys talk about, boy, is Joe intentionally trying to fight with us to make us put the votes on him? Or were you guys just buying into, okay, Joe is terrible to live with, we have to just vote him out?
I think it was a little of both. You know, I think at the end of the day, like I said, I didn't give him enough credit. I didn't think he was that good. It was a good play by him to do that. But we did talk about it, and it was a conversation that came up. And you know, right before we left camp, we kind of went back and forth a little bit. But I think when we left, I think that I had convinced Desi enough that she was going home. So I think that if the idol were to get played by Joe, for him to save Desi would have been his smartest play at that point, because I had done a good job of convincing Desi, like, you going home. Like, he done messed you up. Like, he done ruined your game. He done ruined his game. You about to go home off of the strength of what he just did. Like, it's not going to be him the one that he's not going to pay for it. You are. And so I think I did a good job of convincing her, but you could tell she was holding something. And I think now I see she knew he had the idol. So, you know, I kind of wanted him to play it if he had it for her. I really didn't believe he had it, but I figure if he does have it, he has to save his girl, because he's ruined her game. So that's the angle I was sitting on going into Tribal. And that's the angle I wanted him to feel I was sitting on. And I think as Tribal went on, I think he got more and more uncomfortable, because we were going at it pretty well. And by the end of Tribal, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't vote for Desi in a million years. I'm voting for you, Joe. You got to go. So, I mean, regardless, like, that's where my vote was going.
So one of the things that came out of the episode last night was the idea of that once Devin can't vote, should you and Ashley have just, you know, reversed course and basically thrown Devin overboard and said, let's put our votes on him? Because the way it works out, you know, go ahead.
No, I'll let you finish.
No, with the way it works out, even that if your two votes were on Desi and it turns out to be a 2-2 tie, then because the way it would work is that you and Desi would have been immune from the vote, and it would have come down to Ashley and Devin having to pull a rock. So it would have been no, neither of Joe or Desi were going home no matter what.
Right. So I think, you know, looking back on it, you know, if I feel like me and Devin got to the point where I felt like Devin was somebody that I may have been able to work with. And even if it was just for the sake of, we had the same mission in terms of getting rid of Joe, I think we came to a solid ground during our time that we had in our camp. So I kind of was in a situation where I kind of trusted Devin. And for me, you know, I'm a loyal person, and, you know, through it all, like, I'm going to remain loyal. And sitting here thinking about it now, and it crossed my mind when we were sitting there after he read it, it's kind of like it crossed my mind to just whisper to Ashley, you know what? We can actually just see if we can get Joe and Desi to vote for Devin and get rid of him. But I think, you know, because at that point he meant nothing to us. He meant nothing to them. I mean, he was just there. You know what I mean? And why should he get safety just being there? So looking back on it, maybe that's something I could have did. But I think the way Tribal went, I was so far down the road with Joe, I don't think it was any question in their mind who they were voting for. And there was no question in our mind who we were voting for. So we were deadlocked by the time Tribal was over. Maybe on a different day, if we would have just woke up that morning and not argued for an hour straight, then it would have been different. But at that point, one of us had to go.
All right. So going back to that first night of the show with everything with the idol strip search, did you really feel like that JP had an idol, or were you just trying to cast some dispersion on them and make it look like they had an idol, and you didn't care if they really had one or not?
So when I started it, I didn't know if they had an idol. I had a suspicion that they may have had a clue. I had a suspicion that there was something going on, that they kept communicating the way that they were, and they were trying to hide it from everyone else. So I did have a suspicion, but after I threw it out there, it was like, I'm so far, I'm in it now. You know what I mean? Once my feet are wet, I'm in the water, I might as well get all the way wet. So I'm like, you know what? At this point, y'all got an idol and y'all a power couple. So once I was in it, it was like, I just started adding as much fuel as I could to the fire, because I had already helped that suspicion grow. So at that point, it was kind of like, okay, now this has to be a part of my game and I have to keep this going. So from what I took was that, you know, I let my suspicion kind of lead me where I needed to go. And it's like, I just played as I went. I didn't plan it. You know, I wish we could have stayed core forward all the way through, you know what I mean? But I did grow to like Chrissy, and Chrissy for me became a viable option. So it was kind of like, well, if I'm tight with Ben and I'm liking Chrissy, I mean, Ashley and JP really don't mean anything to me anymore, because if we're getting rid of Katrina, we got the strength in this tribe. So it was kind of like, well, now I can play it how I need to play it, and they're disposable to me. So it became a situation where I didn't really care what they But I had to prove to Ben and Chrissy that, hey, look, I'm here with y'all, and this is what's going on with them. So y'all make the choice on who y'all want to roll with. And so that was my aim, my angle in that.
Did you have any particular issue with JP or Ashley, or it was just the idea that they were this couple that was together?
JP bothers a lot of people. He didn't bother me as much. I mean, he doesn't play the game. He wasn't playing the game. It was obvious to everybody. He was good around camp. He was just there. I mean, he didn't bother me, but I knew he wasn't going to benefit me in any way. And Ashley, I kind of saw she really, I didn't have any use for her other than the fact that we could win challenges with a strong girl and another strong guy. So the only thing that I saw of them benefiting me was the fact that they were in our tribe and they could help us win. But we weren't winning. So, I mean, honestly, that got to the point where it was like, okay, well, you guys are really disposable to me. So this train I'm on, I can ride it. And hopefully Ben and Chrissy see that I'm probably the better option out of the remaining three in terms of who they deal with.
But after everything that you had been through with them, it felt like that to me that you and Ashley had kind of gotten on the same page by the time you went to tribal council, that even Ashley was saying, oh, I can't believe it. Why am I, Alan was the one person I didn't want to get swapped with. But it felt like that you guys started to get on the same page by the time you were voting.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked. I mean, I think, by the time we got to the swap, when we were about to swap, I think our tribe was finally on a place where, okay, the lines were drawn, but everybody had the common goal. Okay, we won one. We just won. We got immunity. Okay, we can make this thing work. And I think everybody had that opinion. So me and Ashley had kind of had some things out. Now, when we dropped our buffs and I saw Ashley was the only one that was still blue, I mean, my heart was broken. You know what I mean? Like that was the last person that I wanted to work with. And I think she felt the same way as she said, but I think we had to figure out some kind of way to make it work. Like, okay, you might not trust me and I don't trust you, but at the end of the day, our backs are against the wall. I trust you a lot more than I trust the two coming over from another tribe. So I'm going to have to work with you and we got to figure something out. And, watching the episode last night, it's kind of like, I could have easily jumped ship on Ashley when Joe put the opportunity out there for me. But I felt, like I said, me being loyal to my tribe at that point was more important, because if I do make out of this and we show up at the next challenge, I get to show my former tribe that, hey, look, I'm still riding with Ashley no matter what we've been through, that we got rid of somebody else. So I couldn't jump ship just thinking long run in terms of how it would have affected my game.
So were you surprised to see how tight Chrissy and Ben had become during the time that you played with them on the Heroes Tribe? Because it felt like in the first episode that you and Ben were the tight two and you guys were going to be each other's number one. But then he ended up sort of flipping it to, it looked like that he was tighter with Chrissy. Did you know that when you were out there?
No. So I think, I knew that, I knew that we were tight as three. You know what I mean? I knew I had a good relationship with Ben. I knew my relationship with Chrissy was growing. And actually, I think that's how it became that Chrissy and Ben got so close, was through my relationship with the both of them, whether it was or whether it wasn't. I think they got close through that. And I think that for me at that time in the game, yeah, I looked crazy. I looked like a wild card. So for them, their best interest was to say, okay, I need to find somebody who's on solid ground. Even though I knew I was on solid ground the entire time, in my head, it's like, this is all me playing the game. But for them, I mean, the goal is to win. And, they need to position themselves that way. And I think that they did what they needed to do in terms of finding the most reliable person in the tribe to work with. And at the time, for them, I didn't seem reliable. So, I mean, I didn't know they were as close, but I'm glad they did get close, and hopefully they remain close throughout the game because I'm pulling for both of them.
Alan, how did you end up going from playing in the NFL to being a contestant on Survivor?
It's a long story. I put it like this. I think the opportunity arose, and when it arose, it's one of those things where, I never saw myself actually being on Survivor. Like, I watched Survivor, but like, I didn't think I could do it. You know what I mean? It's not something that I'm like, oh, well, I couldn't be out there. I always sat and said, it's not something I could do. But I think that, when I was done, when I walked away from football, it was kind of like opportunity arose. And I was kind of in a space where this is an opportunity that people would love to have. And who would I be to not take it and not accept it? And 10 years from now, will I look back and say, I wish I would have? And I think that, you know, I just couldn't pass on it. It was one of those things where it's an incredible opportunity, an incredible challenge. And that's me. I'm all about challenges. I love to challenge myself. And that's kind of how I ended up there. I mean, it's a challenge like no other. And I'm glad I did it.
Well, I know about challenges like no other, Alan, because I am a fan of the New York Jets. So I that every week,
every Sunday, I'm tested.
Yes. And when Austin Seferian Jenkins, I thought he had a touchdown the other day, and then they turned it into a fumble and a touchback.
Yeah.
That was like Devin getting the secret advantage. And I said, wait, hold on. This was not a touchdown. This was not an advantage. All right. Alan, thank you so much. All the best. You were a really fun character to watch, and all the best. Okay.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. Alan Ball here on the podcast. Yeah, Jeff Probst had said in interviews this morning that he thought that Alan Ball would be a good person. He would like to have him back. So who knows what the future holds for Alan Ball. So we have our This Week in Survivor History quiz coming up that I recorded this yesterday with Taryn Armstrong. We spoke with Jordan Kalish for this week's edition of the quiz. We did have some technical issues, and I do apologize for that. Again, I'm on the road, and not everything is set up as normally as it is in my studio. So I did run into a problem. So the audio you're going to be hearing is actually the audio from my computer. We had an issue with the mixer that I'm using here to record these interviews. So I do apologize for the subpar audio quality for what you're about to hear on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Before we get to that, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor, and those are our friends over at TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context when you're buying a car. Information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. From there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want. Once you register with TrueCar, you can see real pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer. For an actual vehicle that's on their lot, it's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. You see, Devin, that is an advantage. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with the TrueCar certified dealers. And TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Here is this week's edition of the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
All right, everybody. Now let's get down to what everybody's been waiting for, the This Week in Survivor History quiz with the embattled Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I think I am embattled no longer. There were no scoring errors, no poorly worded questions. The Yankees are in the ALCS. I'm not at all embattled this week.
Okay, well, okay. That's we'll see how this goes. But we've got a great guest with us here in the studio, which is my hotel room in Reno, Nevada. Please welcome the host of The Taryn Show, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Jordan, better not mess up my score when I beat you.
Yes. What does your programming do if Jordan ends up making a mistake?
We delete him.
Delete him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So would you say that the Jordan Kalish episode of The Taryn Show is very much hanging in the balance right now?
Oh, very much so.
Very much so.
Yeah. Even if I don't win by like regular means, I'd better win by other means. Otherwise, I mean, who knows?
Okay. All right. So a lot at stake.
The stakes are higher for me than they are even for you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jordan, what do you have in store for us today?
All right, so the four categories that we have for this week, and just to remind you of the rules, you can choose when you get your question to forgo your multiple choice options for 2 points or to get your multiple choice options, and a correct answer would result in 1 point. Here are your categories. Basically a badass one, basically a badass two, basically a badass three, and basically a badass four.
Okay. All right.
A variety there.
All right. So,
yes.
Taryn, do you feel like you understand the rules?
I think so.
At least as equally well as Jordan understands them?
Probably.
Okay. So what will you select?
One.
All right. Basically a badass one. And here's your question, Taryn. What does Drew Christie attempt to trade Jeff Probst for fishing gear? Would you like to forgo your multiple choice, or would you like to hear the multiple choice options?
And you get 2 points if you can get it without the multiple choice.
I'll forgo the multiple choice.
Oh, wow.
Was it the flint?
Was it the flint? Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Taryn, you are correct. You get 2 points. It was the flint that they had originally lost. Drew Christ, the tribe was able to find it by the fire. So they traded it back to, they attempted to trade it back to Jeff Probst, but of course he didn't let them.
That was very easy.
it's only basically a badass one. It's the first question.
Okay. Well, are there varying degrees of difficulty? Then should I take
not
two?
Not really.
Is that the second most easy?
Not necessarily.
You don't need to point out the fixing in the game, Rob.
Okay. All right. All right. So
Taryn, you have 2 points. No scoring errors so far yet, Rob, right? Taryn has two?
Taryn has two. That's correct.
All right, Rob. Which question would you
like? Number two. Give me two.
All right. Basically a badass two. While on Exile Island, Drew Christie decides he needs to throw the next immunity challenge in order to get rid of one of the girls on his tribe. What does he do during the challenge in order to make his tribe lose?
Well, I feel like that there's a lot of things that he does. He doesn't sink the baskets. But I feel like that this is a poorly worded question in that I could say a lot of things that he does to make them not win. And you'll say, well, I wasn't talking about that.
So would you like to hear the multiple choice options?
I don't think I have a choice.
Well, I mean, if you remember the challenge, you'll know what his role was in the challenge, and you'd be able to potentially get it right.
They had to sink baskets. He wasn't sinking the baskets. But I know you too well, and I know that I need to listen to these choices to know exactly what you're referring to.
All right, here are the options.
This is like shades of who convinced Hayden to vote with Sierra at the final six, and you said it was Jervis and Monica.
Well, look, so you remember specific moments from old This Week in Survivor history quizzes, but I'm surprised you don't necessarily remember this challenge enough to be able to answer the question without.
Okay,
points.
All right.
I'll read you your multiple choice options. A. Did he errantly throw the rings during the ring toss? B. Did he swim slowly while going after a ring? C. Did he pretend to drown in the water? Or D. Did he sit out of the challenge after saying, quote, I'm the best competitor on my tribe. They have no chance of winning without me.
A was he errantly threw the rings?
A was errantly throwing the rings during the
He errantly threw the rings.
And you are correct. You get 1 point. Rob, you would have been wrong. It wasn't baskets. I would not have given you credit for that.
I know.
You have Taryn has a 2-1 lead. He has full command of the board. He gets to choose.
What if I
would have
said he did not try his best in the challenge?
That would have been too vague.
Okay.
Vague but accurate.
Yes. Thank you, Taryn.
Yes. You don't get points for being too vague. So Taryn, you get to choose your next category. Basically a badass three or basically a badass four.
I'll be a wild card. I'll go for four.
Ooh, he's mixing it up. So basically a badass four. How does Kelly Wentworth find out about Drew Christie's master plan to vote her out at Tribal?
Let's see. Who is he talking to about the plan? Just give me the multiple choice.
All right. A. Does Jeremy tell her about it? B. He literally talks about it right in front of her. C. The other women on the tribe were able to get the information out of Keith. D. Trick question. Kelly never finds out about Drew's plan.
Wow, I really don't remember this. They all sound very plausible, though.
This is where he gets you.
I feel like she never knew. Is it D?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. Drew Christie, the correct answer was B.
He didn't talk
about
it
right in front of her.
I vaguely remembered that.
Yeah, he's talking about the plan to Jeremy and to some of the other men on the tribe, such as John Mish. And she's literally standing right there by the shelter, and she gives a confessional, basically saying how stupid he is to do that. So Taryn, you have 3 points because you get one for that. You had two before. 2 + 1. I'm pretty sure. Equals 3. Rob, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and Rob, you have 1 point. And you have one more question left before we get to the final round. So, Rob.
Taryn has 3?
Taryn has... Oh, so Tyron actually. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Tyron has two plus zero.
I thought
two.
This. I, as soon as you said that, I was like, okay, good. This is being fixed. Like yes. Again, Rob, you're ruining everything for me right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tyron has 2 points. Just trying to see if you guys are
oh,
right.
Okay.
Gambling all night. You've been gambling all night in Reno. Okay. So Tyron, you have 2 points.
It's 1:52 in the afternoon.
Hey, so, you know, I've been to Reno. I know how late.
Okay.
How late
all right.
To
all right.
There.
Keep your shirt
Reno gets
on.
It's crazy. Sometimes, so yeah, sometimes you're at the pool and someone starts broadcasting you over the internet.
Okay. All right. Give me my question.
All right. One more question for Rob. Basically a badass three. If you listen to RHAP, you know that Drew Christie called himself basically a badass. What other positive attribute does he give himself in this legendary confessional?
I'm going to get the multiple choices, but I'm pretty sure I know what the second part of that is, but give me the multiple choice.
All right. A, a manipulator of this game.
Yeah.
B, a strategic mastermind. C, a physical powerhouse. D, Kat Ederson's boyfriend.
Wow. Watch it. I would say it is A. I was thinking it was a mastermind of this game, but I didn't want to Forsten Hausler it and speak the wrong thing. So I will say A, he is a manipulator of this game.
A is correct. Rob, roundabout is fair trade, and you have 2 points.
Yes.
That is correct, right? You got your multiple choice, 1 + 1
yes,
equals two. Okay.
It is
you
two to two.
2 points. You each have 2 points going into the final round. So since it's a tie, Tyron, you will have your first choice of question for the final round. The way that this works, I am going to list 6 Survivor seasons. For each of these seasons, I have given the episode title from This Week in Survivor History. I have also made up an episode title. So there is a fake one and a real one. You will get to choose your season out of the 6. You could score up to 4 points on the final round. Whoever has more points by the end of this round wins. So we're going to do 4. If we need to
do a
tiebreaker
after that. Are you
following this?
Mostly. Okay. I think I'm going to lose anyway.
Guess the correct episode title and you'll be okay. Each one's worth 1 point. Okay. So the 6 seasons you could choose from, and Tyron, you're going to have first choice. We have Thailand, China, Samoa, Nicaragua, Cambodia, and Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay. So that
Tyron gets to choose.
Oh, I choose one of the
seasons.
Choose
one of those seasons from the list.
Okay. Go Millennials versus Gen X, I guess.
All right, Millennials versus Gen X is the real episode title. Idol Search Party, referring to the entire Gen X tribe searching for the idol, or Forbidden Love, referring to Figgy and Taylor trying to hide their relationship from their new tribe.
Idol Search Party.
Idol Search Party is correct. Tyron, you have 3 points. Rob, choose your season.
I will go with Cambodia.
Cambodia. Is it All the Clams in the Ocean, referring to Monica's concerns about eating too many clams, or A Snake in the Grass, referring to Fishback Jeremy and Kimmy's concern about Monica?
I will say A Snake in the Grass.
A Snake in the Grass is correct. You're tied 3-3. Tyron, choose your next season.
What are the seasons again?
We have the ones that left are Thailand, China, Samoa, and Nicaragua.
I'll do Samoa.
Samoa. We have Walking on Thin Ice, referring to what Russell said to Liz Kim after confronting him about having the idol, or Can Somebody Turn This Rain Off, referring to the storm which restricted the Foa Foa tribe from strategizing before tribal.
Can someone turn this rain off?
Can somebody turn this rain off is incorrect. It was Walking on Thin Ice. So Rob, if you get this one right, you win the game.
Okay.
You can choose from Thailand, China, or Nicaragua.
We'll take Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, is it I'm a Grandmaster, referring to Marty's Guillermo Villa story, or worst case scenario, referring to Brenda's theory that Marty might play the idol for himself or Jill?
I will go with worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. If you are correct, you win the game. If not, we go to the tiebreaker. But Rob, you are correct. You have beaten Tyron. I guess I'm never coming on the Tyron show, unfortunately. I would have loved to. But Rob, you are a winner.
In fairness, yeah. Okay. Well, Tyron has to play in a poker tournament that starts in 3 minutes. So I think that Tyron deep down is relieved.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's good we had sort of a rapid fire on that final question.
Okay. Jordan, do you have a quick Yankee prediction for us?
Quick Yankee prediction. We win the game tonight. We win game 5 by a score of 3-2. Lose game 6 against Verlander, win it in 7. That's been my prediction the whole time.
And then do you want to still fire Joe Girardi?
No, not anymore. He's earned his place.
You admit that that was a very foolish, rash thing to say.
It was an overreaction.
For yes. Sure. Okay. Not an overreaction. All of the criticism about your scoring.
I disagree with that as well. That's also an overreaction. This has been a day of overreactions.
Can I also just say On Thin Ice is a terrible episode name?
Yeah.
Can Someone Turn the Rain Off would have been much better.
Would have been better.
I agree. I think I like that one better too. No, but nobody said all that. Right. No, Russell said Walking on Thin Ice, apparently.
All right. Jordan, thank you so much. We appreciate all the time you put into this. Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have fun, guys. Taryn, thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor History, the quiz. What a hot streak I'm on. Really starting to heat up on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Despite its flaws, despite all the issues with the scoring, somehow I'm still persevering against all that adversity. So let's see if we can keep it rolling into next week. And again, I apologize about the audio issues there. Again, this is not the easiest thing to do, to record these podcasts on the road. All right, so we are going to be continuing to be on the road here today. I'm going to track down Tyson here this afternoon. We're going to get together in person to record, which is something that we don't ever get to do outside of the occasional RehabCon. So looking forward to that. And then I have my interview with Nick Majorano on the voicemail feedback show. So get your voicemails in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or call them in 323-282. RHAP. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together for me while I'm on the road today. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.